Okay, Mazel Tov, on the completion of Maseches Ksubas, B'Siyata D'Shmaya, we're going to pick up with Maseches Nedarim. Our learning is sponsored, Le'ilui Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. And we're going to pick up now with Maseches Nedarim, a little bit of an introduction into Maseches Nedarim. Maseches Nedarim, obviously we know, is talking about the lachos of Nedarim, of vows, someone taking a declaration that's going to be binding on him, Mina Torah, that he has to keep what he says. Maseches Nedarim is in Seder Nashim, because we discussed in the seventh parak the fact that Nedarim were mentioned there because a man has the right to revoke the vow of his wife. So based on that, Agav, we come into Maseches Nedarim, and that's why it's mentioned over here. Many Rishonim point out that the Lishonos of Maseches Nedarim is different than standard Gemara, and some even want to suggest that Tiferes Yisrael, that he says, and maybe that the Talmud Bavli had been reviewed a bunch of times, two times over Ravashi, and then he gave it over, based on Gemara Bava Basra. He says maybe Maseches Nedarim was only the first time, which is why it's a little bit different stylistically. Everyone points out it is different stylistically, which is why it makes it more difficult. Another reason that it's more difficult is because we don't have the Shita of Rashi. As most understand, the Shita that says, on the inside, that says Rashi is not Shita of Rashi. We know that based on the fact that Rishonim quote Rashi all the time, the Meiri and others, and it's not the same as the Rashi we have. And many understand that the Beis Yosef quotes him as the Mefarish. He doesn't even quote him as Rashi. So we assume that Rashi is also not Rashi, so we don't have, you know, the gift of Rashi, his clarity and his how concise he is. So that makes it a little bit more difficult as well, which is why the Ran on the side becomes a primary work that many of the explanations we're going to be discussing is based on the Ran. The Ran is Marech, though. He usually gives you oftentimes what Rashi and what Tosos, type of Rashi and what Tosos will say, and a question and an answer, and the later Gemara, and how does it line up in Cheshbon. And it's amazing, but it's very, very long. As you see, the Dapin are short, but the Rans are very long. So it's important that we try to do a summary of some of the Rans. Obviously, when it gets into complicated Cheshbonas, we're going to try to avoid it. But the Ran is a crucial Rishon on this Masechta. So what type of Nedarim? It's important to note that there's a concept called Nidre Hekdesh versus Nidre Isser. Nidre Hekdesh is really going to be discussed in Seder Kachim. It's not really discussed in our Masechta so much at all, Kimat. And really, what we are going to discuss is Nidre Isser based on the Pasuk, Ish ki yidur neder l'Hashem, o yishava shuvu l'esori shal nafsho, lo yachel dvarav kechol yotze mipiv yaaseh, that a person who makes a vow, or he swears, we're going to discuss shuvu also, is important, because obviously they're very similar, and to ask for something, you have an iser deraisa not to violate your word, and whatever you say, you shall do, kechol yotze mipiv yaaseh, as the Rambam lists, that there is also a mitzvah in the Torah, to motzes fasecha tishmor, to do what you say. That refers to Nedarim, that is the Shita of the Rambam. There's also a mitzvah, I say, to do what you say. So there is a Lashon of Isser Nedarim, and that is Neder. Now there also is Neder and Shvuah, they're very similar. Nedarim is a vow, and Shvuah is an oath. So what exactly is the difference between the two? So a Neder is classically defined as, Briskers didn't make this up, they got it from the Gemara, that a Neder is an Isser Chevtza, and a Shvuah is an Isser Gavra, meaning a Neder, a person asserts the object onto himself, and a shvua, the person himself, makes it asser. And there's actually a difference there. There's going to be nuanced differences, halachic nafkaminas, between the two. A classic example, classic nafkamina, is regards to, can you make a neder about not sleeping? By the way, I once went to the Erlo Rebbe's yurt site, and they had for very cheap his farm, and they had like his anhagos. So it said over there that when he learned Maseches Nedarim, he used to say that I hereby declare that everything that I'm saying and that I'm learning is going to be bli neder. If I don't say my limud agav and I forget, it should be bli neder. It's like a midas chasidon of mamish al pi halacha. You have to do that, but it's g'day that we all say right now that wherever learning will make it through the whole rest of the Masechta, in case you forget each day, that whatever we say through the rest of the Masechta is going to be bli neder when it comes of the limud, and it should not be any nedarim for us. So just to point that out. So back to over here. So that when a person says that he's taking a neder not to sleep, that's why I got into this because I'm giving my first example here, is a person says he's not going to be sleeping, so then the halachic, that the neder does not take effect, because a neder cannot take effect on something that has no tangible substance to it. It's not tangible. It's not like sleep is something that you do. It's not something that's tangible. However, if you take a shvuah that you will not sleep, that is on you. You're saying, I personally am not going to sleep. That is going to be chal. Another example is that, I believe it's also nafkamina, is a neder and a shvuah on an iser. So let's say a person says that he's not going to makes a shvuah that he's not going to go into a sukkah. So you have no right to make something which is a mitzvah min haTorah asur to you. However, if you madir a specific sukkah, so then it's a chefzet, so that sukkah becomes asur to you. So you didn't asur all the sukkahs in the world, that one sukkah becomes asur to you, and it would be chal. So that is another nafkamina between nedarim and shavuos. And so a person makes a neder, it's affected by, you need two things. You need to verbalize it, except for nidre tzedakah, which we will get to, as Shem, a little bit in this Masechta. But other than that, for regular halachas of neder, is that you need to make an actual verbal, dvarim shebelev in a dvarim, you need to actually specify it, verbalize the neder, in order for it to be chal. And you also need to have intent that you wanted it to be chal. And the Gemara is going to discuss many nuances and practical differences. Have to make sure that, did you have both? Did you mean both? Is that lashon considered something which is good? And the way in which you make a neder, it has to be something which is going to be a statement like this prusa of lechem is going to be asr to me. So that is going to be a neder if he says, or something that he associates it, like that's lashon of hatfasa, that he says like, it's going to be like a korban to me. So then also, again, that is going to be a lashon of neder, because a korban is something which is asr to you. So by way of association, that's going to be something which is going to be chal. And then the Mishnah, very in the beginning, we're going to open up with different formulas that are also going to be valid. We're going to have yados and kinuyim. Yados is a partial declaration, and a kinoy is something which is equivalent, literally something that's a kinoy is an equivalent term. That's actually machlokas tanayim. We'll get to that, the machlokas and tavyud between Rish Lakish and Yochan about this, whether what exactly is a kinoy according to Rabbi Yochanan, which is usually how we paskin. Rabbi Yochanan says it's just a neder in a foreign language. So that's that would be like konam would be an example. Konam is like a lashon of korban. So therefore, it's going to be chal, because just like we said, if you say something like this, asr to me like a korban, if you say this, asr to me like a konam, that also would be valid. Okay, so based on that, one last thing is that also there's hatara versus hafara. Hatara is something which is retroactively annulling your vow, even from it existed. The chacham finds a pesach; it finds a way to show you that maybe you didn't really mean to take this vow whatsoever, and therefore you should you have a hatara. It is going to be uprooted retroactively, so it was never chal. As opposed to hafara, is more when a woman makes a neder and either her father until the age of 12 and a half, or her husband, whenever she does nisuin, he can revoke the vow. But that hafara, though, is only mikan al-haba, and not a retroactive. So there obviously would be nafkaminas if she violated it after that point, if she violated it, meaning before that, in the interim, so that would be, she'd be chayav malkos if she was warned about it. If it was hafara, though, on a neder, and a person did hatara, rather, and he would not be punished for it because he had uprooted his vow as if he never did. Okay, we did a little bit longer introduction than usual because this, as you see, the first amud is extremely short, so we have Baruch Hashem, we'll have plenty of time to do the first amud. So here again, we're talking about the neder that you can make it asr to you. This is going to be the mitzvah min haTorah to make your neder. So now, full neder again is going to be, a classic example is going to say like this, lechem is going to be asr to me, or this bread is going to be like a korban to me. Other formulas are also going to be valid, as the Mishnah is about to start. Kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim. A person who makes a lashon of a kinu, as we mentioned, a term that is a same term, as Gemara is going to mention later, Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, this means that it's going to be a term in a different language. So then, if you say that it's konam, so that is going to be called a kinuy. So now, again, so we see that is the, it's based on Rabbi Yochanan, that it means that you're saying it in a foreign language, and that is, l'chora, based on the fact that everyone knows what you're talking about, that is clearly conveying what you meant, and therefore, that would be no less significant than saying this like a korban to me, and therefore, they would be fully valid on a level, even mid-da'oraisa, on kol kinudarim kinudarim, and haramim karacharam, the same thing, if you make a chayram in a different lashonos, a chayram literally is something which is there's two categories of haramim. One is that you say that this is going to give into Bet HaKabayis, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Beis HaMikdash treasury, or you say it's going to be given to the Kohanim. So if a person says this thing I'm giving is going to be chayrim, it becomes either one of the two. So the second category of haramim is going to be what's similar to here, that's going to be usher. It says that a person says to his friend, Reuven says to Shimon, that again, these are all bli neder, that I am chayrim to you. So then, that person is going to be usher to benefit from that person, as if he said that my property is all going to be usher, like that property of the Beis Hamikdash is usher to me, and therefore be usher. And the similar, if he says that you are cherem to me, so then the person is going to make himself all of his property and everything of the like, it's going to be usher to him. That is the context of a kinoy in reference to the cherem. So that just like a kinoy of a neder is like a neder, a kinoy of a cherem is also like that of a cherem. And the terms in the Mishnah is going to be discussed later. We're going to see like charik, charif, and charif. Those are in the Mishnah Daf Yud. And we're going to mention why it is that we don't mention them. And shvuos kishvuos. And the lacha is a, if you similar thing, if you say different lashonos with regards to a shvua, as the Ran explains over here, the kinoy shvuya is like a shvuya, and it's going to be chal. And we see that shvuya, also you say shavusa, or other things which is like a kinoy, those will also be valid, just like by a neder, you could use other lashonos, those lashonos are going to be chal for a shvua as well. Unezirus, kinezirus, and with regards to nezirus, also, if you use different lashonos for a nazir, someone says, I'm a nazik, or other lashonos, that would be a valid form of accepting upon himself the mitzvah to be a nazir. Ha'omer l'chavero, someone says to his friend, Mudrani mimcha, I am taking a vow from you. So here we're discussing yados now. So a person over here is going to be saying a yad, so that you clearly have kavana to make a neder, and this is going to be something which is going to be a chal. We're going to see that not everything that's partial is going to be necessarily called a yad, but here we're discussing things that would be chal. Mufurshani mimcha, or I'm separate from you. Merchokani mimcha, I'm distance from you. Sha'ani ochelach, that which I eat is yours. Sh'netelmach, or that which I taste of yours. Aser. So that would be a valid neder, and the Gemara is going to explain in Daf Dalet that the person who's making the neder said, I am going to be mudrani mimcha, that which I'm going to be ochel of yours. So that's what the Lashon is going to be clarified. They're considered yados rather than full because the person making the neder, the madir, he didn't declare that is explicitly that the food should be like a korban, and he didn't say it's going to be usher even. So therefore, as the Ran explains, that's why these are considered yados. And that's still going to be valid. And again, as we pointed out, yados are a din d'oraisa. Menuda anilach, I am menuda. So nuda is a type of excommunication that a person is making upon himself, or it could be literally also menuda can also mean detached. So some menuda, he's saying that it's a, you can understand it as a neder, but not necessarily the meaning. So that's why it's a question. So if you say menuda, if you say lashon menuda anilach, Rabbi Kiva ya chochek b'zeh lahachman. That's why it was a question. Literally, chochek in Rishonim seems to be understanding like rubbing, like it's not sure. He wasn't sure. He leaned towards being machmir. And he thought you should be machmir because it's not necessarily explicit that he meant that it's going to be lashon of like excommunicated, like it's usher to you. Maybe it just means detached, in which case wouldn't be an explicit intent, and therefore you don't have enough das to make it be machmir. But Rabbi Kiva was no telachmir. He did say he thought that you, again he probably went back and forth, but he thought you should be machmir with this case. Okay, we're turning on to Beis Hamikdash now. Says the Gemara now. Kol kinoy nedarim kinedarim. That all of the lashonos of nedarim are going to be like nedarim. So the Mishnah is then telling us the lachas of charamim, of shvuos, nezirus, all, we mentioned all of those, we mentioned all four of those in our Mishnah. So the Gemara asks though, Maishna gabi nazir, why in the context of the lachas of Mishnayos and nezirus, that in Maseches Nazir, as the Ran points out, lo tana ela kol kinoy nezirus kinezirus, and we don't continue mentioning and kol nedarim kinedarim and kol shvuos kishvuos and kol reini. We don't mention those other halachas and charam kecharamim. We don't mention them in the Mishnah in nezirus in Nazir. Whereas the Mishnah in nedarim over here does mention that a person all four different categories. So why are we marich in Maseches Nedarim and we only mention one of them in Maseches Nazir? So the Gemara says. Again, so in our Mishnah we mention all of them, and we don't mention any of them in Maseches Nazir. So the Mishnah says, neder u'shvua k'siv gabe adadi. The pasuk says, ish ki yad or neder l'Hashem, o ishav ha'shvua. So it connects Nidarim, as we mentioned, Nidarim and Shavuos are very similar in their halachas, so they mention them together. So since they're mentioned together, Tanu Tarte, the Mishnah had to mention both of them, because they are basically, you know, very like synonyms to each other, and therefore the Mishnah felt the need to have to mention both. And then Keva Tani Tarte, Tani Lakula. Once the Mishnah felt the need to mention the halacha with regards to those two, so we're not going to leave out, there's only two more to mention, we'll just agav mention the entire Zach. The Gemara says, "V'litni kinei shvuos basar nedarim." So why doesn't the Tana though teach us the concept of kinei shvuos after nedarim? Why does it interrupt with the terms of charamim and the lachas of charamim? So Gemara says, "I did the Tana darim." Since we already mentioned nedarim, the mitzvah chefza leh. As we mentioned, there's an iser chefza on himself. A person, the object that becomes usher to you when it comes to lachas and nedarim, as opposed to shvuah, which is iser gavra. Taninami charamim, so too, we mention charamim, de mitzer chevza alea, which similarly is a case of someone who's asering the thing itself to him, as opposed to this object is chayim, that object itself becomes asher to him, lafuke shvua, to kasher nashim in a chevza, which a person excludes himself from that item, but it was on him. It's iser gavra. He's saying, I am usher to that whatever tablecloth, or I'm usher to that chair in front of me, as opposed to saying that chair is usher to me. As we mentioned, there's major nafkaminas in different cases between that halacha of a shvua and that of a neder, an iser gavra versus iser chevsa. As we mentioned, the case of sleep. So, right, a person can't make an iser neder on sleep because the sleep is not a tangible thing. But a person can say that his eyes are going to be usher to him if he goes to sleep. So then it would be a neder that's chal because he's saying his eyes, which are a function, that he's not going to close them kilu for a long period of time. Then that would be a neder which is chal. So there is a difference between again iser chevta and iser gavra. So lechora, that would be the case with regards to haramim are similar to darim in the fact that they are on objects like nedarim rather than people. Therefore, the Mishnah mentions them together, and it mentions nazirus after shvuos because nazirus is similar to a shvua because a person has the right to make himself a nazir. A person makes himself a nazir. That's a shaila. Is nazirus an iser gavra and iser chetza is actually not 100% clear. The Avni Miluim talks about that, and that's a discussion in the Achronim. But either way, back to over here, so that's what we see, that's why we mention them. That there's a difference fundamentally between Chefza and Gavra, Lefuk Ishvua, the Kazun Nashim, and Chefza. Now the Gemara continues to another problem of the stylistic writing of the Mishnah. Pasach Bekinun, the Tana discusses the lachas of Akinoi, which is things that are mentioned in different Lashonos, different languages, Kol Kinoi Nadarim. All of the Nidarim are going to be like Nidarim. And Mefarish Yados, then it goes on to mention not that of Kinuyim, rather that of Yados. Ha'omer l'chaver mudar animach, mentioning someone who I am mudar from you. I'm going to make a neder against from you. So lechora, that is going to be the din of a yad. The Mishnah only talks about Kinuyim. Way later, the Mishnah Daf Yud is going to mention Kinuyim. So why don't we mention the lachas of Kinuyim? Visu Yados Inchi. The Tana apparently forgot to mention the lachas of Yados. How can I explain without having taught it? Meaning that the how can you explain this lacha? You don't really mention what the Yados are. So where's that? I rebuild. Tana does mention Yados because this is what really the Mishnah should say. Kol kinuyim nedarim kinedarim. All the lachas of nedarim, if you mention them different lashonos, different languages, are going to be valid like an eder. Again, if you had an intent, and that's the way people speak. And they're going to be like a neder. V'yados nedarim kinedarim. And similarly, the lacha of yad is like a neder. Meaning you have to add that note that yad is like a neder. Once we know that lacha, then we can continue. So the Gemara asks though, v'lifrish kinuyim barisha, why are we waiting until daf yud to mention in the next Mishnah lacha of the lachas of kinuyim? Why don't we mention kinuyim in the very first Mishnah daf beis? So the Gemara says, because ahu desalik minei umifarish bereisha. Because the Tana does it oftentimes. The Tana will mention one and two halachas, and then A, B, and then discuss the halachas of B, and then go back to A afterwards. Because you have to remember that they used to Torah Shavuot, they used to memorize it. In a way of memorization, that was easy. So therefore, they would do A, B, and discuss the halachas of B, and go back to A afterwards. A, B, B, A, a classic way Mishnayos are formulated, and the Gemara is now going to give three different examples from Zechas Shabbos with these stylistic point. We know this, we should be familiar with this. Hopefully we say this. Some say that those down as far actually say Gavna, Zohar, but those many say B'memalikin on Friday nights. So we discuss what are allowed to light the Shabbos candles with and what not. The Rabbanan established that wicks used for Shabbos must be of a material that is able to hold the flame well, because if it's not, we're afraid a person is going to be mata, he's going to tilt the lamp and improve it, and that would be an Isser Dereisa of lighting the fire more on Shabbos. So therefore, we discuss what you can do and what you can't do. Ein madlikin, then we discuss what you can't do. So it goes back to the second question first. We said Bama madlikin is first, and then Mama Eila madlikin, and go. You start off with saying Ein madlikin. What's the lachas Ein madlikin? So that's Mamish ABBA. And we have a similar halacha with regards to the halacha of atmana, insulation. We know that there is an iser to insulate hot food on Shabbos that's going to be gaining in heat, that's going to be mostly hevel, because the Rabbanan made an iser de Rabbanan, because we're afraid that a person is going to he's going to put it in with hot ashes and with live coals, and that would lead to stoking the coals, which would then be shamei chatav yichalim, is going to be an iser de Raisa. So that's why we are not allowed to do turn to hatmana. So we're discussing it. If it adds heat, it's asr. If it doesn't add heat, it's going to be mutter. And the Mishnah says, "Bemet tomnin, bemet ein tomnin." And then it goes on to say, "Ein tomnin, what you can't do first." So we say again, A B B A. Bemet isha yotzur ma'inish. That's similar in Masechet Shabbos. We know a person is not allowed in a place without an erev to go out with something which we're afraid she'll take off or is not necessarily considered an accessory. If something is like a bird in a masa, then it's not going to be allowed. If it's a takshit, it's going to be okay. So we discuss what is she allowed to go out, what is she not allowed to go with. Certain things we're afraid that she's going to take them off to show her friends. So the Gemara says, lo teitze isha, then it says a woman's not allowed to go out with certain examples. The Mishnah goes on to discuss things that she's not allowed to go out with. So the Gemara points out that is not a problem in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not a stylistic problem. The Gemara points out that v'chalecha depatach lo mefarsh v'risha. Is it really true though? Whenever the Mishnah opens up with one halacha, it doesn't explain the opening of the first halacha, but starts with the second halacha. V'atzanan, we have other Mishnayos that seem to follow just the standard where you mention A and B, and then they go back to mention the halachas of A. Where do we have that in the Mishnah in Bava Basra? Yesh nochlin manchilin. There are those who inherit and those who can be manchil. Can they bequeath to other people? Nochlin v'lo manchilin. There's those who inherit and not able to bequeath. And then, elu nochlin manchil, there are those who inherit and bequeath. There, we're discussing a certain relative whose relationship is that if A dies, B will inherit them, and if B dies, A will inherit them. That's a classic example, be a father and a son. Then we have other examples where only B will inherit A, and A can never inherit B, like a mother to a son to a mother. The son can inherit the mother, but the mother will never inherit the son. If a son dies, the father will get it. If the father's not alive, either his brother, whoever it is going to be the next, this guy had a son, he'll get it first. Whoever it is going to go on the father's side, not on the mother's side. That's the lachas of nochlin lamanchilin. Those are those examples. And what we see though, in stylistically, we said yesh nochlin manchilin, nochlin manchilin, and elu nochlin manchilin. Go back to halach of A first, mentioning those who are the ones who inherit and also give over. And that would be a father and a son. So the Gemara says, and similarly, now we're going to Mishnah Yevamos. Yesh motros levalein v'asros liv mehen. We learn in the Mishnah Yevamos, there are those who are permitted to their husbands and usher to the Yavams. So that is discussed, is like an example of a Kohen to a Almana. A Kohen is allowed to marry an Almana, but a Kohen Gadol is not. So if a Kohen who had a brother is a Kohen Gadol, so Kohen was married beheter to his Almana, then he dies. So then, the Kohen Gadol cannot do Yibum with the Almana. And similarly, Muchos Levin, Vasos Levalein, they're actually someone who would be permitted to their Yavams. However, Usher, in their own relationship that they were in right now, and that would be an example the other way around. If the Kohen Gadol illegally married an Almana, an Isser Dereisa for him, and then he dies, and his brother is a Kohen Hedyot, so then, great, because today he can marry, he could do yibum to the to that almana who is now from they could do yibum. Ve'elam mutzos lebalein v'asos lebimein, and then the Mishnah goes on to proceed to mention those are mutter to their husbands and forbidden to their yavam. So we had A, B. We go back and discuss A, the example of those who are mutter to their husbands and usher to their future yavams. So now a third example, yesh teunos shemen levana. The Mishnah discussed in Menachos that the standard mincha contains of different lavona, an oil, and it was mixed with oil, and the mincha could either be offered as a mincha solas with flour, or it could be machvas, different ways, or tanor, different way you can have menachos. So there are those minchas, which are, there's I think four categories of menachos, that the basic menachos a person gives, there's other menachos going gadol, different things also, that there are those who require oil and lavona, shemen v'lo lavona, those require oil but no lavona, and ve'elu tonos shemen u'lavona, and there are those require both oil and lavona. So again, the Mishnah explains the first halacha first. Ve'yesh tonos hagasha ve'en tonos tenufa. The Mishnah also says that those require bringing hagasha, coming close to the mizbeach. The Torah says with regards to a mincha, that a person has to bring them before the Lifnei Mizbeach. The Gemara and Sota learns that we need bringing them before we need to actually have Hagasha bringing them towards the Mizbeach. Tenufa lo Hagasha, there are those that require waving but not bringing near. Ve'elu tenus Hagasha, those require bringing near. So again, we have A, B, B, A. And fifth example of this is Yesh Bechor Nachla in Bechor LeKoyin. There are those who can be a Bechor with regards to Nachla, inheritance, and not that of a Kohen. B'chor l'koin, vein b'chor l'nachla, or a koin, and not considered b'chor for nachla. That would be an example if a woman had previously been married. It's first for the husband, but not first for the woman. So that would not be a b'chor for a koin, but would be a b'chor l'nachla. Ve'ezer b'chor l'nachla, vein b'chor l'koin. And then the Mishnah proceeds on to mention that case we just mentioned. These are five examples of the Mishnah does regular A, B, and then discuss A first. So now the Gemara answers. Halal mishum da avshilu. So in those examples, that there are many cases, the Tana decides to explain, mefarish ahu de pasal varisha. We have a lot. We have yesh b'chor nachal, b'chor nachal, b'chor koin b'nachal. And then we have more examples there. So since we mentioned a lot of different examples, each of those have multiple examples, then it's going to be confusing if we go out of our way to do like ABC and then we go CBA. It's just going to confuse everybody. So we just do ABC and then discuss ABC in their halachas. And so the Gemara points out, though, that v'habama b'mayotzav ma'inu yotza, the loash of those do not have a lot of mentions, a lot of halachas. Ketani yotza gamal, and it mentions the camel's allowed to go out. We see the Mishnah contains only two halachas and discusses the first A, B, and it goes right to A and discusses A first. So we see that that Mishnah has only two examples, and it mentions A, B, and it goes back to A. So the Gemara says ela alav dafka, that the Tana is not machmir about the order of explanation. Sometimes it'll do it zimnin mifarishu depasal rishu. Sometimes it'll discuss A, B, and discuss A first. And sometimes, Zimna no dezalik mefarish reisha, will say A, B, and do B, A. Stylistically, that is just, it's not meduyak how the Mishnah decided to choose its order. Or, Vibay Sein would give another answer. Yados, in regards to Yados, I did the Eisen Bedrusha, since they were mentioned through a Pasuk, a Drusha that we have in the Pasuk, we learn it out, then mefarish lim bereisha, the Tana wants to explain them first, that Yados is going to be mentioned, we're going to get to that, what the Drusha is. Unlike the lach of Yados, Kinuyim, we know based on just simple logic that it's just the Lashon in a different language. Since the lach of Yados is more of a Chiddush, so then the Tana wants to give it more precedence to clarify that halacha first, because it's a little bit more through a drasha, so we want to mention it first. Okay, Vez Hashem will pick up with Lechta Demarisha and Mirza Shemin tomorrow's class.